This is side two of an interview with Mr. Charles Gamble.
How far back can you remember? What's the all furthest back that you have any recollection of any events or anything? My great grandfather was he was established the first church here at Blaine, half organized the Christian church. They kept the travelers through here, and they the big meeting at Cane Ridge, I guess, you know, in Paris, Kansas.
Mm-hmm.
And especially the Wellmans. My great grandmother was a Wellman, and the ministers had stopped coming through here, you know, and all, and they had that more or less that restoration movement started, you know, the uniting all the churches, you know, into one church, you see, on the Bible alone. And that was the had a big influence in here, and the Christian church was the first church established here at Blaine. It's well over 100 years old.
What's the name of the church?
Blaine Christian Church.
Is that the Disciples of Christ? Or?
Well, the Disciples of Christ, though now they've kind of split off in a way, it's a little different. This was an independent, non-denominational.
I see.
In a way, the Disciples of Christ, they said it didn't work, you know, all the churches didn't come in like they figured it would on the Bible alone, and without any creeds or organizations, you see. And they said it wouldn't work, and so they've gone off. They've, in a way, they've gone back into denominationalism now. Disciples of Christ, a branch of it, the last few years, they have an organization, see, sort of like the Methodist headquarters, and all, you know, run from more or less the central, like other denominations, while the original movement, you see, don't have anything like that. They have no creed but Christ, or they don't have any books of disciplines or anything like that, you see.
I see.
Each congregation is an independent congregation, you see.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yes, my great grandmother, she was converted, I think, in 1846. And I have a hymn book as printed in 1793, the first American edition of the copy from the, I believe it's the, oh, and the fifth, maybe British edition. Anyway, it's copied from, it states in it, I forget now, but it was printed in 1793.
Oh, I see.
Then I have some of the original song books. I mean, I have a leatherback handbook published in 1845, and they put out by Alexander Cameron, Barton W. Stone, you know, that come together and made, let's see, I believe there's a Smith, wasn't there, or something. There's a Baptist, you know, and a Presbyterian. They all come together, you know, to establish this movement, you know,
yes,
the unity movement. And yes, I've been there. You've probably been there. You know, there's this, the old church, Cane Ridge Meeting House.
Oh, yes, I've been there.
Yes,
I've seen that.
And it's enclosed in a stone building now.
Right.
Sort of like the Lincoln Cabin. But I think the Disciples of Christ, more or less, that part the Christian church more or less owns it, or more or less they have it in their charge.
When you were growing up, when I asked you something about the kinds of things that you did, what kind of recreation did old children or teenagers engage in?
Oh, we didn't have anything hardly, no. I started in a one-room school here, and my first school, I believe, was G. Milton Elam's son. He was an educator here. He came in here in the late 1800s, 1880 or something, and he established a school here, the Blaine Normal School. And quite a few educators, he was a great educator. I think the nearest school like that was over in Ohio somewhere, and students came here from West Virginia and all around. People around here boarded them, and he had a big boarding school here, and there's more doctors and professional men went out from his school here than any section this size in the United States. Somebody said, in the Blaine Valley and all here, so many doctors and dentists and professional men, from his school here. Mm-hmm. And I saw then back in my day, not long then they built the two-room school over here, where they then finally turned it into the Blaine High School in 1929. But it was built for a four-room school, but there was only two rooms on the finish. When I went to school here, and there really wasn't any recreation, scarcely. On Christmas, or something, there was a big time to have a Christmas tree at the church, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And a special occasion that week. But there just really wasn't any recreation for the young folks.
What did you do with your spare time when you weren't in school?
Morris had to entertain yourself at home.
How did you do that?
I don't know. Just read. We got together and had the country parties, music and maybe a little square dancing.
Mm-hmm. You said square dancing. That makes me think of a fiddle. Did you have a fiddler to come in?
Yes. Yes, Daddy used to play the old time fiddle a little bit. I never did try to play the fiddle, but the music teacher came in here, Professor Dahm. He's a German spy before the World War I. He taught piano and a band. We had got a band here at Blaine. And I was in it, and I learned to play the piano back in the teens. Yes, I played the piano here for the Christian church, for Sunday school and church every Sunday, nearly for more than 50 years. So I had a stroke a few years ago. I don't play anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I can play a little bit, but I don't. I don't play anymore. I used to love to sing. I had a high tenor voice, but I don't play or sing much anymore.
Mm-hmm. You said this fellow was a German spy?
Yes.
Came in here?
Dahm, Professor Dahm, they call him. He is from Germany.
Uh-huh.
And he was a fine music teacher. And he came out here and gave a music lesson. And he came in here about 1913 or 14, just about time that, or maybe before the war started.
Mm-hmm.
And they discovered he had plans of the railroad bridge, you know, the NW bridge at Canova.
I see.
They thought that, and they caught the. I understood later after he left here, they got him and they found that he was trying to send a fiddle back to Germany with the plan of that bridge in it some way, you know. And last I heard, I mean, he's in federal prison in Atlanta, Georgia.
Mm-hmm. How'd they discover him, do you know?
I don't know.
Oh.
Well, he was trying to send a fiddle, I understood, back to Germany somewhere, and I guess they inspected some found plans or something, you know, or showed the drawings of the bridge and some of the thing. Of course, that would have been very important again in the war, and I would say they could have blown up a bridge or something, maybe, or I don't know what the intention they had, but of course, he's just trying to get that back to Germany or some of his spy bunch somewhere, I guess you see. Maybe they're planning maybe to blow it up or something. I don't know about else.
Did he do anything else? Did he act suspicious or anything when he was here?
Yes, he did. When the United States entered the war, we had put our American flag.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he dropped his head when he came to give me a piano lesson. He come up to my home, you know, giving a lesson, and we noticed such a difference in him. He didn't like that. Didn't like because we put out the flag, you see.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, he'd talk all the time for that, you see, and naturally Germany was sure going to win, you see, so the United States got in there. We entered the war, and he changed his tune completely. He didn't stay long, and he left out again. Then later, I heard that the government had got him and had him in prison. It was sort of something about this plan that he was trying to send in a vial, or they discovered this little match or something in the vial that he was trying to send back, I don't know, to Germany or somewhere.
Yes, yes. Wanted to ask a question about the Depression. Did the Depression, when it hit, have a big impact on this area?
Not here. The Bank of Blaine stayed open all during the banking holiday, Roosevelt holiday in 1933. One of the few banks that stayed open, it never closed.
I see. I didn't know that any banks had remained open.
Yes, it did. Bank of Blaine remained open.
So employment stayed pretty good?
My father was the president.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they're in good shape, and they remained open and never closed.
Employment didn't drop or anything like that?
Well, no, it didn't affect it out here. There's not much employment. I don't know how to feel anyway.
Yeah.
People in here, they go and branched out, went to many different places, you see.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of early Spectrums went to, my great-grandfather, one of her daughters, went to Arizona, married a horse, and they scattered out, so in a way, we've got relatives from all over the nation, you see. And the Wellmans went to Illinois, and back in 1964, my mother's first cousin, I believe, was Teddy Hill, died in Paris, Illinois, and they had homesteaded a lot of land, and they said this was worth over $1 million, and they sent back here to the heirs, you know. My mother didn't sign up, but her brother and my uncle Oliver Sweatman signed up, and he got some money out of it. When it was settled along about 1964 or 5, the mother would have brought it too, because my mother said she remembered she visited back here when she's a little girl. Mother's born in 1875, and around in the early 80s, I think they came back here and visited my grandmother, Sweating. Then they went. Then some of them went there. Another one of my aunts married a Wellman, and they went homesteaded in 3 miles out of Aberdeen, South Dakota. And I visited them in back in the 30s. Then I believe in 29, maybe out there too. And really set their shearing over there. They went out west and homesteaded in different places.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the Gambles went to Oklahoma and homesteaded. Some went to Missouri. This my great grandfather Balls here. He owned all the head of Kenyon's Creek that run down up here, both forks to the head. Dogs were scattered from all the way to the state of Washington. They were quite a family up there. The dogs were, my grandmother was a dog.